Welcome to episode 36 of the Jake Talk Sports Podcast. I am here today with Miller Football. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I am doing just fine. We seem to have a trend on the podcast where I just decide to invite on all the fans of my rival teams. I got to stop doing that. Obviously, you're a Bears fan. But before we get into like your fandom and all the NFL talk, I just want to talk about you for a second. Where did your journey to content creation start, and like where did you get your inspiration and passion for it?
All right, so it's a funny story actually. I'm a choir kid, I'm a former theater kid, like all
yes,
that
sir.
Kind of stuff.
Same
I love
here.
Performing.
Same here. Yep.
Yeah. And my junior year, right? Sophomore or junior year, I can't remember which the years run together at this point with COVID, once that hit and we were all in quarantine. One of the girls in my show choir was like, hey, we should all start TikTok accounts and see who can get the biggest following. And because I'm competitive, I was like, all right, bet. I went in on it, and it's not clear. I came out on top, not to toot my own horn or anything, but
that's awesome,
I started
man.
I started doing little goofy stuff here and there, and then, you know, I want to get into sports media as a career. I'm currently a freshman in college studying.
So am I, yeah.
I'm getting my mass communications degree right now.
Awesome.
And I want to get into that kind of stuff. And social media, that's a good platform to get in on, good way to make connections, things like that. So I've just kind of ran with it because of that.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear, dude. Now you bring up like you getting into like this little competition for TikTok. When I was a senior in high school, me and two of my friends decided that we were going to do a race to 1,000 followers on TikTok. And so I had always wanted to do sports content, so I created Jake Talk Sports and obviously got 2,000 followers first. And that's where my journey started too, so we're pretty similar in that way. That's very cool to hear.
That's pretty crazy, isn't it? Small
yeah,
world.
Yeah. So I saw one of your videos on TikTok, you just posted like, I think tonight, and you answered the question there, but I want to ask you the same question here. You're from Maryland, Pennsylvania, both?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm from Maryland. I lived in Pennsylvania for like a year and a half.
Okay, perfect.
That
perfect.
Area, yeah.
So what led you to becoming a Bears fan then?
So my dad grew up a Bears fan. He was born in 1980, so he was 6 years old when the Bears won the Super Bowl. Yes, grew up on Walter Payton, and grew up on Mike Singletary, and he has – well, we have family. I want to say it's his aunt is from Chicago. So she kind of, you know, pulled him in back when the team was actually good.
Right.
And then when I was like 7 or 8, I finally got into it. And that was 7 or 8. I would have been – 2011-ish, so right at the end of like Brian Urlacher's career, Lance Briggs, all those guys.
Jay Cutler.
And I really, yeah, that was more towards the start of Cutler, but like the end of Urlacher. That he was my first favorite player. And he got me into it. I fell in love with it. You know, we used to bond over watching games, playing Madden, collecting football cards, things like that.
Sure.
So this team, it's like one of the big reasons why I'm so close with my dad. So it's big for me because of that. And then I'm a big history buff, so the historical, you know, importance of the team, I'm sure you feel that as a Packers fan as well.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Just everything about it. The Bears were, like, the perfect football team for the things I'm into, and getting into it because of my dad, it was just the perfect blend.
Yeah.
Plus, I can't stand Steelers fans or anyone like that, so I wouldn't dare be a fan of a local team.
That's the thing, man. I mean, I am from Western New York, born and raised, and so I have a bunch of family in Wisconsin, in Green Bay. I grew up visiting there every summer, so that's kind of where I got the Packers fandom. But it's the same kind of thing for me, where I would sit here and I would go to school with, and I would see like Bills fans around, and they're a crazy bunch, man. So I was just like, you know what, I'm gonna be a cheesehead. So that's where the Packers fandom started. So yeah, let's talk about your Bears. That's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on. I'm assuming pretty knowledgeable about the team.
I'd like to think so. Yeah.
Just starting off with this year. Okay, the Bears fan community on TikTok have pretty much come to an agreement that this year is not going to be a good year for the Bears. But there also are some people who have them in the bottom three in the power rankings, there are people who have them going 0-17. What are your realistic expectations as a Bears fans for the team this year?
Okay, well, first of all, I've seen a lot of Bears fans that think they're playoff contenders, and I think that's absolutely ridiculous.
That is true.
Even with how weak the NFC is, that is an absolutely ridiculous claim. And the people who think the Bears are going to finish bottom three, I also think are ridiculous. I think they're going to finish somewhere in the middle. I've got them winning about four or five, maybe six games. And I say that because it's a very easy schedule for Chicago, like ridiculously easy. And if it wasn't for that, they probably would be a bottom three team. But I have faith in Fields. I think he's going to take a step forward. I think, Eberflus has never had a bottom half of the league defense. I think that's going to be a big help. He's a guy I trust a lot to make something out of nothing, so to speak. I trust the run game. I trust Luke Getsy coming over from Green Bay. I think about, like I said, four or five or six wins. Right in that area is probably their sweet spot. I don't think it's going to be a winning year, but it's a nice transition development year. Kind of lets some guys figure out where they stand with the new regime and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about this on Twitter a little bit about just the fact that the Lions might finish ahead of them. Like
Oh, absolutely.
that's an
I think they
absolutely
will.
like that's a realistic thing. And it's like I don't see the Bears going on 17. Like as much as I want to say that as a Packers fan, there's absolutely no shot.
Right.
Like you look at their schedule, like you mentioned, like they are this if they were like if they were like a team that actually had good expectations for this year, they'd probably be the best team in the NFC with their schedule.
Absolutely.
Like they've got, I mean, they opened the season with the 49ers, which isn't bad, and then the Packers. So like it's a little bit of a tough road. But then you got Texans, Giants, Vikings, Commanders, Patriots, teams like that. That I mean, I don't know. And speaking on Justin Fields, there are a lot of people, and I actually got into a conversation with somebody on TikTok about this. There are some people, I don't know if you've seen any videos about this, that think that Justin Fields should be on the hot seat this year if he does not take a step. What do you say to
I think
that?
that's ridiculous. That is
Okay.
absolutely ridiculous.
Because I had a very long conversation with somebody on TikTok who genuinely believes that if Justin Fields doesn't show at least some improvement this year and doesn't take a Herbert-esque second year step, then they should be looking at different options at quarterback.
Okay, listen. First of all, Herbert asked that is absolutely ridiculous.
Of
No
course it is.
quarterback
Yes.
in this situation is going to be taking a Herbert-esque step. Absolutely not. I think I've been doing my quarterback rankings. I have Justin Fields at this very moment as the 25th best quarterback in football. And I think that's a very fair estimate for him as it
Is
stands
that
because he showed.
the lowest out of all of the out of all the second year guys in your rankings, or do you have him above some of the second year
No.
guys?
I have him and Zach Wilson kind of in the same place.
Okay.
I have them. They're like I have them at 25 and 26, and I think they're kind of interchangeable. And then it's gonna sound crazy, but I have Davis Mills as the lowest. He really does not do anything that impresses me. I'm not a
Ooh,
big Davis Mills fan, which we,
we'll talk about
yeah, we can get
quarterback
into that
stuff.
later. But my point is, this guy showed a ton of promise in arguably the worst offensive system the city of Chicago has ever seen. Like Matt Nagy is the
Awful.
definition of incompetence.
Awful.
He's awful. And to watch Justin Fields play in that system where that he was trying to make him a pocket passer, because that's what it is. Nagy's very egotistical with his offense and believes that every quarterback should do exactly what he wants, which is Alex Smith, Nick Foles, Andy Dalton. Those are the guys he wants in his offense. So these, mobile guys, especially like Fields, aren't going to work. So Fields, while trying to be forced into this, still managed to have these big games against Pittsburgh, against the 49ers, against Detroit. And really show a lot of promise. And I think him transitioning into a Shanahan style offense with a wide zone scheme, what Luke Getsy's bringing over is going to be huge for him because it's going to be very play action based. It's going to be very bootleg heavy, a lot of running to take pressure off of him. He's in the best situation he could possibly be in year two, play calling wise. And, talent-wise around him, it's not great, but it's the best the Bears could do with what they had. Very limited draft capital, very limited cap space. There's really not a whole lot they could have done. So he's in the perfect situation to take a step forward, but not a Herbert step. He's not going to look like a superstar year two. He's going to look like Mac Jones year one in year two.
Most likely, like,
that's what I'm expecting from him. If he hits that year two, and then when Chicago has $100-some million in cap room the next year, they have their first round pick that's probably going to be in the top 10. Year three is when I expect him to really burst out, really be that guy we were promised.
100%.
If you expect that from Fields year two, I don't know. That is absolutely ridiculous and completely asinine.
Yes.
The only way I think Fields is on the hot seat is if Chicago somehow wins zero games or one game and Fields looks like absolute garbage. And then you're like, okay, well, maybe Bryce Young or CJ Stroud could do better because, you know, this new regime, they're not necessarily tied to Fields. But I do not see that happening. I don't think there's a chance in hell that happens.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And when it comes to, like, head coaching stuff, the only other two second-year head coaches, like second-year quarterback head coaches I trust more than Eberflus at the moment is probably Belichick and Shanahan.
Like, yeah.
Like I like Robert Saleh. And, like, but I absolutely hated the Lovie Smith hire. We can talk about that with the quarterback stuff, but absolutely hate the Lovie Smith hire. And as a Bears fan, you probably have some warts on Lovie Smith, too.
Yeah, of course.
But, yeah, so, yeah, looking at the team next year and looking at the team just moving forward, first of all, just next year, do you have any, like, sneaky sleeper breakout guys that you think could really have, like, a really nice season on either side of the ball?
Chicago?
Yeah, for Chicago.
Okay. I'm a big Cole Kmet guy. I'm absolutely obsessed with Cole Kmet. He's my boy.
Okay. Okay.
And there was I can't remember who published the article, but I was reading this article the other day, and he said he feels like he's going to be in a very similar role to, like, Robert Tonyan when he was in Green Bay, you know, given the Getsy connection and whatnot. And I think that would be fantastic for him. I think he would fit that very well. And I just... his big thing right now is he has a very bad drop problem. And to me personally, when it comes to any sort of pass catcher, that is like the easiest thing to fix because 90% of the time it's in their head and a good coach will fix that. And Luke Getsy is a guy who has a track record of doing that very well. You look at him when he was the wide receivers coach in Green Bay, Devontae Adams comes in, has everything you want in a receiver, super intelligent, great route runner, you know, everything you want. He just doesn't have good hands. Turn him around after year one, year two, breaks out. Year three, year four, he's the best receiver in football now.
Of course.
I'm not saying he's going to have a breakout like that, obviously. But his biggest issue is something our new offensive coordinator has proven he's very good at fixing in pass catchers. And I think that bodes very, very well for Kmet.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of that, after the catch, he's super physical. He's very George Kittle-esque when he has the ball in his hands. It's going to take three or four guys to take him down. He knows how to use his size to his advantage. He's a really good blocker. There were games last year, in particular, I think it was the first Detroit game, might have been the second, where he was the highest graded pass blocker on the Bears. Like, he's a fantastic blocking tight end on top of having this physicality after the catch. If he can just learn to get the ball in his hands more consistently, it's going to be big for him. And when you're in an offense like this, it's going to be reliant on bootlegs and quick throws and play action and whatnot. Tight end's a huge part of that. A good tight end is a young quarterback's best friend. And if Kmet can really have that breakout year three, that's not only going to be huge for him, it's going to be huge for Fields, it's going to be huge for everybody. So a lot, in my opinion, is hinging on Kmet, and I have a strong feeling he's going to meet those expectations.
Yeah, I mean, I like Cole Kmet a lot. He gets a lot of hate for some reason. I'm not really, like, too deep into, like, wondering about why, but he does get a lot of hate. And I don't know if him being the highest graded pass blocker is says more about him or about the Bears offensive line last year.
It's a mix of both.
Do you think that the same thing that you were talking about with Getsy and Kmet could also apply to Darnell Mooney this year?
Absolutely.
I like Darnell Mooney a lot as a wide receiver. Do you think he's wide receiver one over Pringle if Pringle is cleared up legal trouble wise?
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's wide receiver one, no question about it.
Okay, because Darnell Mooney, I think. Obviously, there was all the jokes about that one time when he just completely smoked and dropped Jalen Ramsey and then
Trubisky got overthrown Trubisky because Foles him. Sucks.
Oh, it was Foles, okay.
Yeah.
And Foles misses him. And then And then, like, people started to hate on him because he didn't have the best season. But, like, I think Darnell Mooney seriously is, like, has a very high ceiling when it comes to, like, mm-hmm. where he could rank. Like, honestly, right now, I mean, I could see him finishing as a top five receiver in the division at least. Like, with like, numbers-wise, oh, like, talent-wise, he probably already is a top five receiver because the Packers receiving room is just atrocious.
I'd argue top three right now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, with... Like Jefferson, Thielen, and him, yeah. I mean, yeah. So obviously, I'm assuming from what you've said already in the past, like minute or so, you're a big Darnell Mooney fan. But if you want to expand on him more, what have you seen from him that you like? What do you think you like are his best traits?
Well, he's a fantastic deep threat. I think that goes without saying. The dude's super quick. He knows how to get open. He's very electric route runner. He's sneakily good. In terms of contested catches, like, you wouldn't think he is for his size because he's a little dude as a wide receiver, but he knows how to gain leverage and really figure out where he needs to be to get the ball in his hands. He's really smart after the catch. Obviously the whole Jalen Ramsey thing, he's really, really good at beating the press, things like that. I'm a big fan of Mooney, and my only complaint with him is the drops. And I do think, you know, same boat as Komet. Getsy can really bring that out of him. And he's a guy that I think with enough touches and with a little bit more development with, Getsy can be someone we look at as like a Brandon Cooks-esque receiver. Because a lot of people don't look at him as a wide receiver one. Even idiots like Dan Orlovsky calling him a wide receiver three. That's just asinine.
Yeah.
I started this offseason a little bit lower on Mooney than I should have. I used to say I didn't think he could be a wide receiver one.
Mm-hmm.
But upon thinking about it more, I definitely think he can be a consistent 1,000-yard wide receiver one in the right type of offense. And I think, again, the Shanahan offense is perfect for him because you want quick guys that are really good route runners. And that is exactly what Mooney is. And if him and Fields can build that connection, it's scary. That would be a scary, scary duo for the North.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, like, I really think that, like, that reminds me a lot. This reminds me a lot, kind of a Rodgers and Adams thing, mm-hmm. except Rodgers was a little bit older than Fields, obviously, when Devontae came around. But it's like two guys, they're around the same age, and one of them is and they're both just kind of waiting to break out. And I think that, honestly, when it comes to the rookie quarterbacks and their receiving options, think about that. Like, Mac Jones doesn't have... I mean, honestly, I'm very low on Devontae Parker. I'm going to be real. I'm very low on Devontae Parker.
His prime. He doesn't have much left on him.
I'm low on the pass receiving room. Trey Lance obviously has Kittle and Debo and everybody. He's fine. Davis Mills has Brandon Cooks. He's okay. But, like, Zach Wilson has a lot of unproven talent there.
Talent with sky-high upside.
Oh, yeah. And then you look at... look at Fields and like Mooney and Komet. That's not bad. Not bad at all.
Their receiver room gets a little bit too much hate.
Yeah, I mean, it's Pringle, Mooney, and then like who's their third?
I would say Jones personally, but there can be an argument made for like David Moore or Dante Pettis.
Okay, sure.
I would go with Jones.
Yeah, so wrapping up the Bear stuff with one final little question, a little prompt. Future-wise, the Bears, obviously, there's a lot of question marks still. I mean, you know that this season is a rebuilding year. You know that this season is going to be, like you said, 5 or 6 wins. That's going to result in most likely a pretty high draft pick. Let's say you get through this year, 5 or 6 wins, Fields looks good, and you get like a top 10 draft pick. What position are you looking at taking first?
Well, okay, it depends on how next year's free agency goes, because like I said earlier, the Bears have like $100 million in cap to spend.
100%.
There's a lot of big name wide receivers coming up.
Oh yeah.
So if a guy like Debo Samuel or DK Metcalf is not, you know, acquirable, you look receiver in the first round. There's guys like Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Josh Downs. I suck with college football. I can't remember the other guy's name. It's like, yeah, but anyways, there's big name receivers in this next class, very top heavy. So if you can't get one of those guys, go there. If not, you know, you do manage to land Debo Samuel or DK Metcalf or someone of that nature, then you just got to go offensive line, I think.
100%.
That's what worst case scenario, you know, or best case scenario, assuming, you know, one of these fifth round guys manages to really pick it up year one and show a little bit of promise. By the way, if you're looking for a name for that, Braxton Jones is a guy to look out for. But if, even if that were to happen, Cody Whitehair's not getting any younger. He's kind of already past his peak, descending. So at the very least, get a guy to kind of take his place long term, because Cody Whitehair's making big money. You can get rid of him.
Sure.
Or, you know, if there's some freak athlete defensive player, Chicago's in no position to ignore someone like that. Again,
no.
I don't know a lot of college football. I don't know who's coming up. I don't know what to be looking at right now. But outside of the secondary and one of your linebacker spots, wherever they're going to play Roquan, whether it's Mike or Will linebacker, or your edge rushers, because I like Travis Gibson a good bit, they're in no position to not take defense. Obviously, it's Chicago. You got to build the defense. It was Mike Eberflus. Good Lord. Matt Eberflus. You got to build that up. So
sure.
It really depends. It's really dependent. I would say just any sort of freak defensive player, wide receiver, or offensive line, that's going to be the big thing. But it all depends on how free agency goes and how guys progress this year. Because maybe we're looking at safety next year. Maybe Eddie Jackson doesn't, you know, pick it up. I'm a big Eddie Jackson hater.
Oh yeah,
I absolutely hate. I hate everything he has done since the year 2018. After that year, he has been the most overrated safety in all of football, because everyone who isn't a Bears fan I talk to says they think he's some top 10 safety, and he's just not. He can't. He hasn't done a damn thing in this the pass game. It's like one pass deflection in the past 3 years. He is the most scared tackler I have ever seen. Like, I don't understand how the man's allowed on the football field.
I saw a lot of slander for him after the season.
Yeah. It's not with the tackling thing, it's not even like he just takes bad angles. Like, that's excusable. You know, if you're putting effort forth and you're just bad at it, you can be like, well, you know, he's a free safety. He's supposed to be in coverage. But Eddie Jackson goes out of his way to not make tackles, and it is the most pathetic thing I've ever seen. But luckily, Matt Eberflus is the type of guy that'll see that right away, nip it in the bud. Worst case, he's just going to bench Eddie Jackson midseason for a guy like Dane Cruikshank or something.
Sure.
I don't know. That wouldn't be ideal, but whatever you got to do. I don't know. It all depends. That's the big thing. That's a whole last year away. I don't know. It all depends.
100%. Yeah. Looking at that like big wide receiver free agent market, if you had your choice, say that you were making the decision for the Bears. If you had your choice between Debo and DK, and salary stuff out of the way, cap stuff out of the way, just straight up, if you took one to fit into the Bears offense to work with Justin Fields, who are you taking?
Debo, without a doubt.
Okay.
We got our deep threat with Mooney. We've got our deep threat.
Yeah.
And Debo is coming from a Shanahan style offense. Put him in a Shanahan style offense in Chicago. Hopefully, you know, assuming Getsy doesn't blow everyone's mind to get a head coaching gig next year, which I don't think is very likely, but
no.
And you know, he doesn't want to do the whole running back thing. That's fine. We've got running backs. So we can extend David Montgomery, worst case, or you know, we have Khalil Herbert, who I'm expecting big things from, especially with the new scheme.
Like
fits it very well.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he fits that wide zone scheme very well. A lot better than Montgomery does, actually. Unfortunately, I love Monty, but I don't think there's a big chance he comes back. But yeah, sure. Debo fits way better than DK would. DK's the fun name because he's the athletic freak, but Debo, I think, is the better football player and the much, much better scheme fit.
Of course, yeah. So, yeah, that pretty much wraps up what I wanted to talk about with you Bears-wise. So let's just let's shift into some general NFL stuff. Let's start with the quarterback talk that we've been mentioning. Okay, I just want to hear we can run through some of, like, some key players in your rankings. I want to just talk about some guys that maybe have been associated with Chicago, a.k.a. Mitch Trubisky, and stuff like that. So let's start with Mitch.
Oh god. Okay.
Where did you have him in this quarterback ranking that you released recently? If you had him on the top 32.
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't have him in the top 32.
Okay.
I had him as an honorable mention, and if I'm being 100% honest, that was mainly just to avoid a bunch of pissy Steelers fans coming at me calling me a hater, because I am a Steelers hater. I don't think Mitch is good at all. I love the guy. I love Mitch to death. I want him to succeed. more than any player that is not a Chicago Bear, but
way God, too much hype. Awful. Way too much hype.
He is awful.
He's a bad quarterback. He is a bad quarterback. And this is
more excuses than any quarterback I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But
go for it. Go for it. Yeah.
He gets more excuses than any quarterback I have ever seen, and it's absolutely
him and Darnold,
ridiculous.
Man. Him and Darnold. Those two just get. Well, Darnold had Adam Gase. Trubisky had Matt Nagy. Both of them. Well, Trubisky we haven't seen necessarily, but Darnold left New York and did nothing. Like, and I guarantee we're going to see the exact same thing with Mitch here. When I first heard about the Mitch news, I immediately thought bridge quarterback for a rookie, 100%.
Yeah.
And
oh,
then they draft Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett might even start this year. Like, I really believe that Kenny Pickett's going to walk into training camp and just take that job right away. Because I believe right now that job is Mitch's.
Yeah, that's what they're saying right now. From what I've seen, it's Mitch's at the moment. Pickett's got to win it, but I don't have any doubt in my mind he will.
Kenny Pickett's going to walk in and take that job, 100%.
He's better in every aspect of the game than Mitch Trubisky. Like, it's not close.
It's not close. But after that trade, I saw, like, I'm sure you know Burns. I'm sure you're aware. I'm assuming.
I've got very colorful opinions on that man. I've had a couple run-ins with him.
We should talk about Burns in a second then.
Okay.
Because I also have some opinions on him. But
okay,
he was one of the people that I saw that kind of came out and was like, this is it. This is Trubisky's chance. Like, he's going to – like, this is even a good fit for Mr. Trubisky. Because Mike Tomlin was like, I want a mobile quarterback with a big arm. And Trubisky, I don't think, is either of those things. He's mobile.
I'll give him that, but he doesn't have a big arm. His arm is the definition of mediocre.
It's a noodle arm, 100%.
I wouldn't say noodle. He's kind of in that middle ground. He can hit a deep throw if he needs to, but he's nothing special.
Yeah, and you know, talking about Trubisky was how we first interacted on Twitter. Was you were talking about how Nagy deservedly gets a lot of flack for what happened in Chicago the past couple of years, but people act like the only reason Trubisky was bad was because Matt Nagy was his coach.
Yeah, it's
simply not the case. And I brought up the fact that who was coaching Kyler Murray right now? Kingsbury is not as bad as Matt Nagy, but he is in no way a good coach. And Kyler Murray, if he stayed healthy, would probably have at least one, maybe two MVPs.
There's a lot of quarterbacks that fall into that. Deshaun Watson in Houston. Who was his coach? Bill O'Brien?
Yep.
I don't know why that's the only one that comes to mind right now, but there's a lot of examples of quarterbacks thriving despite having a bad head coach. Mitch is an example of a quarterback that is failing, not because of his head coach, but because he sucks. Both guys, my firm opinion on the situation is that both of them held each other back. Because if you listen to Nagy talk in press conferences, he's mentioned countless times that he has had to, for lack of better words, dumb down his playbook because Mitch didn't understand what was going on. Mm-hmm. Whether it's he didn't understand concepts, he couldn't execute plays, whatever it is. And I already talked about Nagy wanted to force players into that pocket passer type mold. Mitch is capable of that. He should be able to. His skill set, college-wise, should have been able to translate into that.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't. And from what I have seen from him on film playing in Chicago, the only thing that man is able to do is run a bootleg to the right side and hit the flat. That's the only thing he can do consistently. And you cannot build an offense around that.
Of course.
You can't. This is not D3 college football. This is the pros. You can't do that. Mitch's biggest flaw... Two biggest flaws. Number one is the fact that he just can't put the football where he wants it 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll hit a shot here and there. Everybody's going to get a fluke play. But most of the time, if you watch him, the ball's sailing. It's Allen Robinson, bless his heart, you know, jumping up 3 feet. It's Taylor Gabriel having to extend his entire body, all 5'8" of his frame, an extra 3 yards. Like, the Bears or the receivers who played for Mitchell Trubisky deserve the goddamn Medal of Honor. Because playing with that man is ridiculous. And, you know, I'm not a big Allen Robinson fan. I don't like how he handled his tenure in Chicago, but I feel for him in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, but like I said, he can't put the ball where he wants it. He's in his own head constantly. He just does not. I'm a firm believer that every quarterback either has it or doesn't. You can develop a guy that has it. You know, a guy that has it isn't going to walk in day one and look like a superstar, but they have the upside of doing so. So a guy like Trey Lance, he's not quite there yet, but he has it. A guy like Sam Darnold never had it. Mitchell Trubisky is one of those guys that never had it because there's this mental aspect to the game that a lot of people don't pay attention to. And Mitchell Trubisky has never had it. He always looks scared. He, like, literally looking at him, if you look at his eyes when he's standing in the pocket, like when they terrified. Show replays and you can see terrified. His face, he looks like a lost puppy. He looks 100%. Like a lost puppy. That is the best way to describe it. Mm-hmm. And when a quarterback is like that, he can't handle pressure. He has no pocket awareness. He can't read a defense, so he's scrambling around trying to figure things out. He always gets stuck on his first read. He's just not good at all. He's just not.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand where I don't understand where the love comes from. Nagy sucked and Trubisky sucked. Nagy couldn't run his full offense because Trubisky wasn't capable of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And Trubisky couldn't play to his quote-unquote strengths. I'm putting that in quotes because they're very limited. Because Nagy wanted him to play in this mold that he didn't fit. Mike Tomlin's a fantastic coach, but he can't fix that kind of broken.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Belichick in his prime could not fix that kind of broken. Bill Walsh could not fix that kind of broken. When you're that kind of broken, you get cast out. You're done.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, Mitchell Trubisky's getting all these chances. And listen, like I said, I love the guy.
Yeah.
I want him to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to prove me wrong. I want people to clip this podcast and say, look at this idiot. He has no idea what he's talking about. But it's just not going to happen. It's just not. And that's if he even sees the field this year.
And there's a good chance he doesn't. Like, when you think about
it, I
don't
think he will.
Mitch Trubisky is the best quarterback to come out of UNC.
That makes me so sad as a UNC fan.
Like, you have to understand that. The most successful quarterback to come out of North Carolina is Mitchell Trubisky. And he's been to the playoffs once in his career. Like, that's crazy. Nice. It's the same thing with Daniel Jones coming out of Duke. Like, these are not football schools. Why? Like, I don't understand why we're so high on quarterback.
UNC is a football school when it comes to edge rushers. You got Julius Peppers and Lawrence Taylor coming out of there.
Right, but quarterback-wise.
No, quarterback,
like,
not awful.
Like, Daniel Jones might genuinely be the only quarterback ever drafted out of Duke.
I was going to say, I can't think of another one.
And UNC, I can't think of another guy who got drafted. Maybe you do since you're a UNC fan. But Sam I can't
Howell?
Remember. That's besides Sam Howell. Before Trubisky.
No, I can't think. There is one, but I'm blanking. I'm not big on UNC football, if I'm being 100% honest, for good reason.
Yeah, for good reason.
Yeah.
Moving off of Trubisky, we're just going to talk about some of the more debated guys and where you had them on your rankings, okay. Where I personally have them. Let's start with Lamar.
Okay, Lamar. So I haven't put out my full rankings yet, but I have Lamar at 11. I think he's just outside of the top 10.
Ooh, man, that's tough.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I had him in my top 10, and then Nico Elite Takes. I'm sure you know who that is.
Of course.
He posted a video talking about Kyler versus Lamar, and I had Kyler originally. I had it. It would go Lamar, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, 9, 10, and 11.
Sure.
And then he made that video, and that man completely flipped my perspective on these two quarterbacks. And now it's Kyler at 9, Russ at 10, and Lamar at 11. I like Lamar a lot. I'm an avid – I just want to point that out. I do. I love Lamar.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm an avid Lamar defender.
Sure.
But he's just got to show me a little bit more to get back into the top 10, man. He just hasn't been that guy since 2019. He's just got to show me a little bit more. And I think he will this year. I do. I don't think he'll end the year outside of the top 10.
Especially,
a little bit more.
Especially if he stays healthy, obviously, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
obviously.
While he was healthy last year, people look at his 16 touchdown, 13 interception stat a little bit too much, and they forget that that man went toe-to-toe with Mahomes and beat him in overtime, like in week two last
year.
Yeah,
of course.
Like, and...
But for that game, you also have the Miami game where he just had no idea what was going
exactly,
on the entire time.
Exactly.
And looked like one of the worst quarterbacks in football.
Right.
Which he's not, but he looked terrible that game.
When it comes to Kyler, I don't think anybody, except for maybe a few people, agree with me, but I think a fully healthy Kyler Murray is borderline top five. And
I'd have to see a little bit more from him, but I definitely think he has that kind of upside.
That is, Kyler's my guy. Kyler, for some reason, he's my favorite quarterback in the NFL. If Rodgers was not a terrible person, he probably would be. But Kyler is, there is something about his game.
Hell out of that.
There is something
that, hearing that. Sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
There is something about Kyler and his play style that just, he is insane. And
so much fun.
And the Lamar versus Kyler argument, the thing I always say is, I think that Kyler can be just as effective as a rusher and is miles above mm-hmm. Lamar as a passer.
Agreed. Exactly.
So there's absolutely no reason why you should be putting Lamar over Kyler. You can say that Lamar's a better rusher, but the gap in their rushing, like Lamar over Kyler, is nowhere near as big as the gap between Kyler and Lamar's mm-hmm. throwing ability. Like that is what you got to understand, is that Lamar's a good passer. Does not get enough credit for his passing.
Agreed.
But Kyler's deep ball accuracy is top three, borderline, maybe even the best. Like his deep ball has one of the sweetest touches I've ever seen. Like mm-hmm. like watching like guys like him and Rodgers and Russ, like those three are probably the best deep ball accuracy guys, maybe Herbert. Yeah, Kyler, like I said, he's my guy. Every single season that I've had my Twitter before the year, I've pinned a tweet saying that he's going to win MVP. And one of these days, it's going to be right. I know it's going to be right at one point. Right now, my pinned tweet is that Drew Locke's winning MVP next year. I should probably take
Dear
that.
God. Please do.
We have not followed each other on Twitter for long enough for you to be involved mm-hmm. in this. But let's talk about Drew Locke since he's a quarterback and that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
For some reason, it started on a podcast episode with the Geek Slays. You've been on his podcast.
I know him very well.
It's been on. I was on his podcast, and he said something about Drew Locke that just like was completely right. But I decided that day that I was going to defend Drew Locke with my life. So ever since then, I have consistently tweeted. And, like, I made, like, a victory lap video when he, like, had, like, two rushing touchdowns against the Chiefs in Week 18. And I made, like, a victory mm-hmm. lap video when he got traded to the Seahawks, talking about how he's going to be the QB1 there. And then they didn't draft a guy, so obviously they believe in him. And so, like, it's all satire, but I just think it's so funny to watch people's reactions thinking I'm serious.
Okay. Because, like, respect that.
There are people on Twitter who are just like, Are you kidding me? I'm like, no, man. Like, Drew Locke's probably like borderline top 15, top 10. Like, he's probably like on like near Mahomes' level. And people are just like, you're insane, man. And he was one of your honorable mentions I saw, right?
Yeah. I do think he's better than Trubisky. I'll give him that.
Okay. But like, when it comes to being genuine, Drew Locke is not a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I don't know. Not right now, but he's shown me some things that have impressed me.
He has a lot of good upside, like genuinely.
Yeah. I used to be an avid Drew Locke hater. And then this past season, particularly ironically, that last game against the Chiefs,
there were a couple passes
that had a little bit of juice to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Drew Locke, we don't have to linger on him. He's not necessarily a debatable guy. He's just pretty widely considered to be not great.
If there's a quarterback with BDE, though, it's Drew Locke. Like,
oh, yes, 100%.
Listen, horse, male genital lock. I don't know if you're cool with me cursing on here, listen, horse cock lock is real.
Oh, 100%.
It's real. I respect it. I do think he has genuine upside, though. I do.
No, he does.
Maybe Seattle's the team to tap into it.
Honestly, he's got a good weapon in DK. He's good at the deep ball. Yeah. Got a deep threat. And Tyler Lockett.
You got Tyler Lockett, yep.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Moving off of Drew Locke. I don't know if you're familiar with, we're just talking about a bunch of TikTok guys here. Are you familiar with Hoodie Daddy? The guy. This is a guy who is an avid defender that Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in the NFL and brings up the fact that he was first in a lot of stats last year outside of like touchdowns and stuff, the completion percentage and stuff, and he like goes against all these other guys and like compares Joe Burrow. So obviously he's a pretty debated quarterback, especially after the Super Bowl run. Where did you have Joe Burrow? Or is he not out yet?
I'm at six. Okay. It's not out yet, but I'll tell you, I'm at six.
So he's out of your top five. Okay, yeah. That's good to hear because I do not have him as a top five quarterback either.
I like Burrow. I like Burrow a good bit, but
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. For me, it's hard to distinguish how much of his performance last year was him versus T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd, you know, the weapons he has.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hard to distinguish with Burrow. And listen, I'm also, with his defense, I'm a firm believer that numbers lie. Stats lie a lot, especially with quarterbacks. I think there's a prime example of a quarterback like that. I'll wait and see if you want to get into him. If not, I'll bring him up. Numbers lie. They lie big time. So any numbers that are telling you Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in football, they're lying straight to your face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I gotta ask. Where you got my boy Rodgers?
Number two.
Okay. Mahomes is one. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. 100%. No disagreement there. I just want to make
objectively
sure...
the top two quarterbacks in football.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care what order you have them in, 100%. But it's those two.
It's those two interchangeable. Even I really don't have... I don't really tend to put Rodgers over Mahomes. But the only other thing I wanted to talk about besides Rodgers was the second-year guy. So before I get into those, who was the guy that you wanted to bring up when it comes to numbers lying?
I was going to say Kirk Cousins. I think he's the most mediocre quarterback in all of football.
That is awesome to hear.
Numbers will tell you Kirk Cousins. Listen, numbers will tell you he's a top 10 guy. He's not. He's not anywhere close to it. I have him tentatively at 18.
I have him in the 12 to 18 range. Like, there's a bunch of quarterbacks like him. Him, like 12 to 18. I think those six quarterbacks: him, Carr, Matt Ryan, Tannehill, people like that. But Kirk Cousins, I think, is on the lower end of that scale for sure.
Out of those guys, I think the only person that even compares to Kirk is Tannehill. I think Carr and Matt Ryan are legions above Kirk.
Oh yeah,
I have Kirk and Tannehill in like the same categories like Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh yeah,
none of them impress me.
Because Kirk, you can say all you want about the stats, just watch the dude play football.
Exactly.
There is this one play. You might not recognize this just by my description, but there was a play. They played the 49ers last year, and Adam Thielen is quite literally standing by himself on the sideline, just waiting for the ball to be thrown. He's probably like 35, 40 yards on the field. He's just standing there, and Cousins decides that he's going to try that he has time, and he tries to force one into double coverage on Jefferson and throws a pick or something along that line.
Yeah,
and Thielen it seems like he's scared to throw the deep ball.
Yes, he's terrified. He has gone on record saying he's scared to throw the deep ball.
That's exactly why, like people like Chandler, like the Geek Slays, like hate him.
Exactly. Listen. I didn't have an opinion on Kirk Cousins until I met him. He put me onto this. He enlightened me.
Oh, yeah. When we first talked about quarterback stuff and I mentioned Kirk Cousins, he was just like, because that was one of the first things I asked him when I first had him on my podcast was like, what do you think of Kirk? You're a Vikings fan. And he just had this whole list of things prepared. I was just like, dude. Like, yeah. I will never see Kirk Cousins in another light, because you think about it, he's right. Like, everything that Chandler says about Kirk Cousins, you watch him play, he is not good. He is not a top, he's not in the top half of the league, I would say. Definitely not.
Yeah, like I said, he's a high-tier game manager at best. You're not winning a ring with Kirk Cousins. You're not making a deep playoff run with Kirk Cousins. You're not doing anything with Kirk Cousins.
I mean, the Vikings got the NFC Championship with Christian. Was it Christian Ponder or was it Sam Bradford?
It was Case Keenum.
Case Keenum was the Minneapolis Miracle guy. Yeah.
Same roster and everything. Case Keenum took him further.
Yeah. Never forget that. Kirk Cousins hasn't won a playoff game in Minnesota. Don't think he won one in Washington. So
no, I think he has one playoff win.
It's kind of I think he has one playoff win. I think
him and Lamar are both 1-3.
Who did he beat? The Saints.
Yeah,
on that controversial Kyle Rudolph push off thing in the overtime.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kirk, bottom tier. Moving into second year guys, who is your highest ranked? I think I know the answer.
Mac.
Okay, I was going to guess Trevor Lawrence because of pure upside purposes, but
upside purposes, absolutely. Like Trevor Lawrence is going.
I didn't know how you were basing this off for the second year guys. If it was upside or just.
It's kind of a mix. Like I think, what I saw out of them mm-hmm. than anything. And Trevor Lawrence, that's not necessarily translated to upside.
Let's be real. It was Urban Meyer. It was the offense, but he was bad.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of my thing with him is I'm kind of making excuses for him with it. despite having Urban Meyer, despite having wide receivers literally running into each other mid-play last year, Trevor Lawrence had points where you're like, oh, that's why he was the number one overall pick.
Like that one.
Oh, okay, that was the kid I saw at Clemson.
That one throw, it might have been the last game of the year against Indy when they like ripped him apart. When he was rolling away, like fading away, rolling to his right, and just put this thing on a rope to Marvin Jones. Mm-hmm. I was just like, that was the best throw from a rookie quarterback. Either that or like that one Zach Wilson win against Tennessee. But that throw, like you said, that's the moment where you realize that's what they saw in him. That's why they took this dude. Love the Doug Peterson hire. Love the Doug Peterson.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Doug Peterson meshes with him perfectly.
Quarterback guy.
It was the perfect hire for Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm. What were you gonna say?
The big thing for me with Trevor Lawrence as well is he was very poised. Never once did he look like a rookie quarterback in terms of how he held himself.
Never lost his cool.
Exactly. Despite everything possible that could go wrong, Trevor Lawrence was still out there like, yeah, I'm the shit. This is my team. Dude, I own you. The rest of my team might not own you, but I do.
100% Urban Meyer. Like, Urban Meyer, worst head coach out of any of the rookies from last year.
That's saying a lot considering Matt Nagy's in that category.
Right. And I do think Urban Meyer is worse than Matt Nagy.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And those two were the bottom two last year. And then mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if any of them had like a more poorly run offense. I guarantee not. Just because Zach Wilson had like Elijah Moore and Jamison Crowder, who's a vet. And like Trey Lance didn't really start much. Davis Mills had Brandon Cooks. And like
Lawrence and Fields were kind of in a category of their own in terms of poorly ran offenses. And even then, Fields had Mooney.
Right. And like, yeah. And like when it comes to like the coaching, like I talked with Chandler about this a lot too. Like I hated the David Culley firing. Hated it.
Yeah, I thought it was a little preemptive.
Like, and if you're going to fire him, why go get Lovie Smith? Like, what? While we're on the subject of these second-year guys, Davis Mills, you said you were low on him, so why don't you go on your little tangent about him? What do you think about Davis Mills?
I don't really have a tangent. I just think people are overrating what they saw out of him. Because mm-hmm. the rookie quarterbacks last year looked bad. Like, they all looked bad except for Mac Jones. Mac Jones thrust into a Bill Belichick ran football team. Mm-hmm. He's like pretty much already hit his ceiling.
Sure.
He's in a different category. The rest of us, the normal quarterbacks here, the ones who weren't so lucky, they were put into god awful situations.
Sure.
Davis Mills did just enough to be mediocre or maybe a little bit under mediocre for people to be like, oh no. There's kind of something going on there. And I think that's just ridiculous because that's all it is. It's like that picture where it's a bunch of trash bags and one of them's golden. Mm-hmm. That's Davis Mills right now.
Yeah.
Years time, people are going to be looking at Davis Mills like, why the hell did I ever consider this man above Justin Fields or Trey Lance or Zach Wilson or Trevor Lawrence? Why 100%. Did I ever think that? Because I think Davis Mills has already hit his peak. I don't think he's ever going to get better than what he is right now. And that's like don't know, comparable to like Drew Locke levels of talent.
Sure.
He was just consistent. That was the thing. He was very consistent. He was in a very simple offense that wasn't doing a whole lot.
Good enough to fool people. Good enough to fool people.
Exactly. Perfect way to put it. Good enough to fool people. Mm-hmm. Then you look at guys like Fields and Wilson and Lawrence, who had moments where, like I said, with Lawrence, you're like, oh, okay, that's why he was taken where he was. That's why he's this quarterback we're all supposed to be hyped up on. Davis Mills, it was just like, oh, okay, that looks like a throw a fourth-round pick can make or a third-round pick can make or whatever round he was taken in.
Yeah.
It just wasn't anything super impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not the biggest Davis Mills guy either. But my hot take with the second-year guys, and this is something that I don't think I've had somebody like solidify an agreement on. I think that the best quarterback in this class in years time, it's going to be Zach Wilson. That's my hot take. And that's something that I know probably won't end up being true, but it's something that I want to say because I like Zach Wilson a lot.
I do too.
And Zach Wilson, he gets a lot of slander, and rightfully so. He had some awful throws last year. But his mobility and his arm talent, you cannot ignore that. He's very Herbert and Rodgers-esque, where he's like kind of like,
yeah.
He can make something out of nothing pretty easily. Yeah, he can throw on the run better than anybody. And like that one throw somewhere against Tennessee where he just like put this thing on a dime in between like the safety and the corner, and like a deep ball to the corner of the end zone. That is not a throw that I don't even think Trevor Lawrence could make, really. Like Zach Wilson, genuinely, I really for some reason have this feeling that he's gonna end up being the best guy, but you might have a different thought on him. But
I'll put it this way. It wouldn't shock me. I wouldn't, you know, put me in a time machine, let me go forward 5 years, someone tells me Zach Wilson was the best quarterback out of that class. I'm not losing my mind over it.
Sure.
But I don't think it'll be the case. I think he'll be third, and maybe a little bit of that is bias just because of Fields, but like I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be Andrew Luck. I really do. I think he's going to be Andrew Luck if he didn't have to retire early. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be insane. I think he's going to be a superstar. And I think Justin Fields is also going to be a superstar. Mm-hmm. And I think Zach Wilson is also, like, I think they're all going to be superstars. Sure. I think my hot take for the rookie quarterbacks this year is that those three and Lance are all going to end up being top 15 quarterbacks.
I think this draft class is going to, like, in the future be, like, one of the most, like, highly regarded ones from
Oh, absolutely.
Years.
The only one out of this class that scares me is Lance. That's just because he was god-awful last year.
We haven't seen him play much, and in the time we did, it just was not anything near what we thought he would be coming out of college.
Right. He's got all the tools to be insane, and that's the thing. They all do. And I was a big fan of Zach Wilson coming out of BYU. I started watching him, you know, like I said, I'm not big on college football, but there will be guys that I watch every once in a while, and Zach Wilson was one of those guys about midway through his last year at BYU that I got put onto because I was thinking, okay, Bears are going to draft a quarterback, and they're probably going to finish about middle of the pack, so I need a quarterback that isn't getting a bunch of attention that looks good, and Zach Wilson was that. This was before he shot up draft boards.
Sure.
And my thought was, okay, we're never going to get Justin Fields. We're never going to get Trevor Lawrence, but I like this guy. He looks pretty good, and then he shot up boards and Fields fell too. I was very grateful for it, but I do like Zach Wilson a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing a little thing on TikTok where I'm bringing up like one player at each position I think is going to have a breakout year. And I think at least this year, Zach Wilson is going to have the best year out of all of those quarterbacks, mainly because of what's around him and my expectations for guys like Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, and Breece Hall. Mm-hmm. But long-term, I think he'll end up being like third. I think long-term, your ranking is probably going to go Lawrence, Fields, Wilson, Lance, and then Mac Jones. And then I don't know if Davis Mills will even be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Like, I think he's very liable to get replaced in the draft this year if the Houston Texans end up with a top three pick.
If they end up with a top three pick, you're most likely going to... I don't think that, like, even if they're picking third, I don't think Stroud and Young go back-to-back 1 and 2.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If they're in a position to take one of those quarterbacks, I don't see them passing on it.
Because one of those top three teams is probably going to be like, honestly, maybe even Jacksonville,
and Atlanta.
And they take a quarterback, or Atlanta, who doesn't need a quarterback, because they shut the Ritter. Mm-hmm. You know? So, yeah. There any other quarterbacks you want to talk about, or?
I don't know. There's no one I have too strong of opinions on. It's basically just Kirk and the second year guys.
Okay, sure.
That's kind of where my big concerns lie.
All right. So moving on to like the last little segment. Who do you think could be next year's Bengals? Like a Jets. Team that. Okay, that was my pick too.
Quick answer. Jets. That was no. I figured you were going to go that route too. Let me see if I can pick out another one. You talk about the Jets.
So the Jets. Do I see them going to the Super Bowl? Absolutely not. But
yeah, I don't think.
And there's no way they go worst to first. They could finish second. They will not. They will not overtake the Bills. They will not overtake the Bills. The Bills, I think, in my opinion, they're my pick for the best team in football next year. And so you know, the Jets. Look at them compared to like the Bengals. Mm-hmm. Young quarterback, a lot of upside coming into his second year. Mm-hmm. A rookie receiver in Drake London, who's literally just Jamar Chase but a little bit bigger.
Garrett Wilson,
whatever his name is. Garrett Wilson. I had to mock Drake London.
fair enough. I gotcha.
Garrett Wilson. They added a corner in Sauce Gardner. They added Jermaine Johnson. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of young talent, young leadership. And here's the thing. Zach Wilson, I think right now, I think he's in a good position to lead a team to the playoffs.
Absolutely.
He's got talent around him. They signed Uzama, who literally just went to the Super Bowl. So even though he's not like maybe a vet, he's been to the playoffs and he's been on a deep playoff run.
He's been around the block once or twice, yeah.
Right. And so the Jets really have all the pieces and maybe even more than the Bengals had coming into this year. And they might even have an easier path to like a wild card spot because the back half of their division is probably going to be a little bit easier than the back half of the AFC North was. Maybe. More comparatively this year. Like this year, like the AFC North is going to be sick. But like this year, like sure, the Dolphins have Tyreek Hill, but who's throwing the football? I mean, come on.
Right.
And the Patriots don't have a receiving core that I trust. Their defense isn't all that, especially now that with Jason Jackson gone.
Joe Judge.
They also have offensive play caller. Is he back with the Patriots?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Okay. They haven't named somebody yet, but all signs are pointing to Joe Judge.
Even if it's Belichick, I wouldn't necessarily say that that's like the best option. Compared to like Josh McDaniels in the past, and then you have mm-hmm. Buffalo, who obviously is going to win that division most likely. Like, there's a very slim chance that somebody who isn't Buffalo wins that division. But like,
I would love for him to not win the division, though.
When you think about it, yeah. When you think about it, this upcoming year's like Dolphins and Patriots kind of seem like the Steelers and Browns.
To a certain extent.
Think about it. The Steelers, Big Ben, talented receivers, bad quarterback. Tua, bad quarterback, talented receivers. You know, the Browns, kind of a good all-around roster with the Patriots, but might be getting held back by play calling or, like, a lack of talent in one certain area, like a lack of special talent in a certain area. Mm-hmm. Or receiver for the Patriots, it was, like, linebackers and stuff for the Browns. In my book, if there is a team, it's going to be the Jets. Look at all like the teams that finished like bottom half last year. Like the Falcons, no shot. The Jags, no shot. The Texans, no shot. Like the Giants, no shot. Like think about all the teams that like were bad last year. Out of all like the bad tier teams last year, the Jets have the best chance to be next year's Bengals, in my opinion. You got somebody else or?
Well, yeah, but first of all, I want to double down on what you were saying about the Jets. Mm-hmm. The Jets did a fantastic job this offseason. You know, I've talked about it already. The weapons Zach Wilson has around him. You get, in my opinion, the number one wide receiver and the number one running back out of this past class, who have Elijah Moore, who I think has the upside to be a top 3 to 5 slot receiver in football. Mm-hmm. Defense is much improved. And I like Robert Saleh a lot. I think he can be a good head coach for them. If Zach Wilson takes that step, I definitely, definitely think they can do that. But if I had to pick a second team, I think it'll be the Lions. And you can call me crazy, but
that
listen.
That division might be up for grabs. I don't know.
First of all, that's the first thing. The NFC North is weak right now.
It
Don't
is.
Trust the Vikings at all. The Vikings probably have the best roster built all around, but they have Kirk Cousins. I do not trust Kirk Cousins. Do I trust him more than Jared Goff? Maybe. But the big difference between those two teams, coaching. Detroit's coaching.
Love Dan Campbell.
Detroit has, Dan Campbell is a top 3 to 5 head coach in the NFL, and I will die on that hill.
100%.
The way that man turned that team around last year was incredible. The turnaround they had, granted it happened a little bit later than it should have. If he can carry that momentum into this year, you add Jameson Williams. I don't know if he's going to be there week one, but he'll be there. You add Aiden Hutchinson as your leader on defense. You add Josh Pascal. You add DJ Chark. And then you get Jared Goff, who I think is a game manager at the very least. If he can do enough to not lose you football games. If your defense can really step up, like I expect Detroit's defense to do, and you just find ways to get the ball into the hands of these crafty playmakers like Williams, like Amon-Ra St. Brown, like Chark, like Swift, there is a path for the Detroit Lions to go
Hockenson,
to go to the playoffs. Yeah, Hockenson as well. There is a path for the Detroit Lions to not only go to the playoffs, but with how weak the NFC is, they can legitimately make some noise. Now, they need a lot to click. There's a lot of stuff that has to go right for it to happen, but there is a legitimate, feasible path for the Lions.
I do get what you're saying about the NFC being weak, but and it's the same thing when it comes to comparing Zach Wilson. Once it comes playoff time, like I believe that both these teams can make the playoffs the next year. But when it comes to like being next year's Bengals and beating and like going to the Super Bowl, the NFC is weak, but their quarterbacks aren't. Like when are you really taking Jared Goff in a game against Matthew Stafford or Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady?
No, not at all. But there is a
I feel like he's running into one of those guys in front of on the path, right?
Like, but there is a world where that team can be outcoached.
Right. Like I agree with you. Like Taylor Heineke almost beat Tom Brady.
Exactly.
And Ryan Tannehill beat Tom Heineke Brady.
Can almost do it. Right. If they can do it, there's a world where Jared Goff can do it if everything has to click.
Yeah.
In the event
a lot of
that
things
it
have
does,
to fall their way. Yeah.
In the event that things fall their way, there is a legitimate path. I'm not going to say Super Bowl. I think that's ridiculous. But there is a legitimate path for the Detroit Lions to end up in the divisional round of the NFC playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't think they go much further than that. Yeah. But
no. You heard it here first. Jets Lions Super Bowl confirmed.
Oh my god, I'd lose my mind. That would be beautiful.
So good. Zach Wilson versus Jared Goff. That'd be awesome. Well, that is all I have. Is there any closing remarks from you, my man?
No, I think that about covers it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on. If you want to plug your stuff, now's the time to do it. Your Twitter or your TikTok, whatever, just drop your handles and go for it.
So if you want to follow me on TikTok or Twitter, it's at @MillerFootball_. Or if you want to check me out, I got my own podcast. It's on all streaming platforms, the Ball Knower Podcast. New episode comes out just about every week. We just posted an episode last week that I think is super important. We talked about the lack of representation for women in the NFL and how the NFL refuses to do enough for women. We had a very special guest on. She was very insightful.
That's awesome.
Spoke to us about everything going on. A very important episode. So if you guys want to go check that out, give it a little bit of love, whatever. That would be very much appreciated. Again, that's the Ball Knower Podcast. 3 words. Shouldn't be too hard to find.
100%. Yeah. Well, yeah, again, thank you so much for being on. I had a great time talking with you and great conversations.
Absolutely.
And yeah, we'll have you on again soon.
Absolutely. I'm definitely down for that.
All right. We'll see you later, man.
All right. I'll see you.
That's a cool dude right there. Hey, that's it for episode 36, but that is a cool dude, that was an awesome conversation. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the JTalk Sports Podcast. If you're not already, follow us on all platforms on TikTok at JTalkSports03, on Twitter at JTalkSports3, and of course, JTalk Sports Podcast streaming on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, any streaming platform you can think of. Go check us out. Show some love and a huge shout out again to Anchor. You heard about them at the back. Sorry, not the back half, the beginning part of this episode. You got to love Anchor. You're looking to get into the podcast business. There's no better way to do it than through Anchor. I love you guys. We'll see you in episode 37.